Some of these women are walking around 250 pounds in yoga pants. Those are not love handles. Those are love shelves. Those are love chest drawers. Those are love dressers. Those are love bulldozers hanging off of you. Love handles. And then you say it, and see, that's what I'm saying about you. So you don't have any compassion. I'm telling the truth. You have no business out here in that stuff you got on. That looks ridiculous. But the devil started telling you, cause some joke could get out the car, they're still yelling at you looking like that, telling you look good. And he's making what? A fool out of you. But it's designed to outline your physical form for the lust-filled dogs that'll be barking after you. And you're trained to think like that until God breaks that yoke off of your mind and brings you back to sanity again, so you can just put on some normal clothes and walk around like you got some sense. That's what it's all about. I don't like that. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the way it is. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So you get down to him not being of the world. He's outside of the world, and he has nothing to do with the world. He's from above, and you all are from down here. He says in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who are you? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father have taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It won't set you free. It will mold you into freedom. It will make you over into freedom. It makes you free. It shapes you. It forges you into freedom. It won't just set you free automatically. You must be remade. You must be refabricated into freedom. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. What do they mean by that? Fornication there is the word pornia, which is sex associated with idolatry. So what are they saying? We don't perform idolatrous sex. We don't have whoredoms performed before idols. We serve the true and living God, Abraham's God. We're not born of fornication. We are not born out of idolatry. He says, if God were your father, Jesus talking, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Says there's no disparity. You can't love God and hate me, because I'm the express image of God in bodily form. I represent him. I came from him. And you're telling me you despise and hate me and what I'm telling you, and yet you serve him. You're a liar. You're not going to rebel against the word of God and love the God that wrote the word of God. There are no saved fornicators. There are no saved liars and adulterers and homosexuals and lesbians. They go to church every Sunday in these churches, committing all these sinful acts, trying to make themselves believe that God's grace is sufficient for me. Nobody's perfect. They'll look at you and tell you, "Oh, you're not perfect. You sin too." That's a lie. A Christian does not practice sin. See, they go with the preformatted mind that I'm going to sin. That's not how a Christian walks. A Christian walks with a preformatted mind saying, "I'm abstaining from all sin. But if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, whoever liveth to make intercession on my behalf, because I have a heart that's desiring not to sin." You don't accept sin as a practice and call yourself a saint. You're a damned sinner telling filthy lies. That's the truth. That's the way it is. I'm not backing off of it because it's the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word," Jesus speaking. "You are of your father, the devil." They kept arguing that they were Abraham's seed and of their father Abraham and served the true and living God. And Jesus looks them right in the eyes and says, "You're not of God the Father. Your father is the devil. And the lust or desires of your father you will do." He was a murderer. Was that? An anthropoktonos. Anthropoktonos in the Greek here. Anthro, you know, that's the word for man. Poktonos, man slayer. He was a man slayer from the beginning. The devil has always been a murderer. He's always killed mankind. Who was the first one to commit it for him? Cain. He's been a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. All you got to do to flush out the snakes and the vipers in any environment is just tell the truth. Religious snakes begin to get flustered when you tell the truth. They play saved until hit with a 2x4 between the eyes with the truth of the word of God. Just tell the truth, and the snakes just come slithering out of those holes everywhere. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Where's the first lie coming from? The devil. Where? Garden of Eden. He's the father of lies, liars, and hypocrites, play actors. Most folks cannot be saved. You might as well write that down in the flyleaf of your Bible. Most folks sitting in church, most folks talking about the Bible, most folks laughing, talking about Jesus, need to be born again. They're not saved. I'm going to show you why in just a minute. There's a telltale sign that will reveal who's saved and who's not in just a minute. Listen to this cause and effect. "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Man, you got to let that sink in. You better let that sink way down inside of you. The reason why the devil's children don't believe you is because you told the truth. They'll hear what I'm about to say today and say I'm crazy, because it's going to be true. When I begin to pull the sheet back on what's really going on, the reason why they won't believe it is because it's true. Truth is light. Light shines on darkness and reveals and exposes sin. If I acknowledge the truth, I got to acknowledge the truth about myself. So instead of acknowledging the truth about myself, I escape to a non-reality. I escape to a religious world. I make myself believe a lie. not wanting to face the truth about myself. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me, Jesus says. He that is of God, conceived by God, gestated by God, a son of God, hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, cause and effect. Why, Jesus? Because you are not of God. Man, this thing here is so simple. You watch when you get somebody trying to make some religious debate on the internet. Quote the Bible to them and watch them ignore it. Yeah. They have to ignore it because it's true. They're self-righteously trying to argue to make a point they fabricated in their own minds, so they can't dare address the word of God. Calvinists do it all the time, trying to debate once saved, always saved, and unconditional eternal security. You just quote Hebrews 6:4 to them, Hebrews chapter 10 to them, and they won't address it. Why? Because it undermines that false doctrine. You don't hear the words of God because you're not of God. Then asked the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil? Now we're talking to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And they sit there in the face of God and tell him he's full of the devil. Think about how the world and the system can drive you into madness now. You got to let this sink in. You got to let it sink in how crazy you can be when you're trying to defend the sin within the confines of your own heart. Price is full of the devil. No, what are you hiding? What don't you want to deal with? You got a devil because you're telling us the truth about ourselves. All they had to do was fall on the ground face front first and repent and say, you're telling the truth. We're a bunch of hypocrites. I repent. Save my soul. But no, I stoically stand there and tell God he's full of the devil. Think about what I'm saying. You can be a God-made man, or you will be a man that makes up a God. God is supposed to make man, but if not, man will make a God. You will fabricate another Jesus found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 and following. Another Jesus, you'll believe another gospel and be filled with another spirit that's not the Holy Spirit, and you will talk in tongues in a complete delusion. Because you refabricated Jesus after your own image. We're supposed to be remade in the image of Jesus. If you don't allow that, you will remake Jesus in your image. And you'll say he's going to bow to me, and whatever I describe him as and whatever I prescribe to him is going to be applicable because I say so. Now I become God and Jesus is my servant because I made him up. Everybody knows the puppet master controls the puppet. If I went to the woodshed out here, took hammer and nails and a little cloth and made myself a puppet, and I attached strings to him, a little wooden crossbar, and I let him dance like a marionette as I controlled him, the puppet's not going to move unless I say so. That's the Jesus people worship. He's going to bow down to my definition of what he should be like, what he should have said, what he's going to accept, and I'm going to heaven because I say so. Depart from me, you work of iniquity, he'll tell them. I never knew you, because you refabricated a Jesus in your own mind and pretended he was real. Because you wouldn't bow down to this word and just say, I yield. God, I'm throwing myself on the altar. Save me. Not only save me, but convert me. See, the salvation is the acceptance of you. The conversion is what? The changing of you. That's what people don't want to do. I want to be saved, without being changed. Save me, but don't change me, because I like how I am. You are going to be left out. He told Peter, after you're converted, go and heal your brethren. Salvation without conversion is going to end in destruction. If he can't change you, he's going to discard you after you came to him. If you follow on to know the Lord, the Bible says, if you endure to the end, you shall be saved. He saved you to change you. Well, God accepts you just like you are, sure will, but you can't stay like you are. You got to change, and you got to keep changing, and you got to keep being purified. You got to be washed by the water of the word. You've got to be regenerated. You've got to be refabricated. You've got to be made over to stay on this ship, because ain't nobody nasty, dirty, and lowdown going to heaven. You got to be changed. Conversion is being left out of the salvation sequences. You got to change. Your mind has to change. Your emotions have to change. Your outlook on life has to change. Your point of view has to change. Everything about you has to change. Well, I like me like I am. Well, go to hell like you are then. He says, I am not a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father. See, I got a devil because I honor my father. And you honor your father, who is the devil. Now, the devil in you is calling me the devil because I give honor to God the Father. And you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You got eternal life just by keeping my sayings. Keep my saying and you'll live forever. And you're thinking, man, this ain't even hard. Just do what the man said and live forever. No, I will do as I please. What can you do with that, man? What can you do with that? Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. I know you're God. God, you're the devil. God, you're the devil. I know you are. They get more stoic. They get more set in concrete. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. See the carnal mind. You can't break through to the carnal mind that's set on self. They can't understand spiritual things. They couldn't even understand what he was saying. He was speaking German and they were from Australia. He's speaking English and they're from China, speaking only Chinese. The mind cannot even compute. They can't even understand what he's saying. They always brought it back to what? The natural world, because that's all they had, a natural carnal mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. They're foolishness to that man. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're seeing it operating right here. He says, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. The same God that's honoring me, you saying he's your God. My Father is honoring me, and you said my Father is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Greek, I me. That the word there for I am is I me. E-I-M-I. What does I am mean? I exist. Before Abraham was, I exist. In the French language, God is called L'Eternel. the eternal one. So Jesus is saying, I'm the one that dealt with Abraham. I'm the one that was doing all the talking to Abraham. For Abraham was, I am. So they knew he was saying, I am Jehovah. I'm the one in the fiery bush. I'm the one that got a hold of Abraham in the land of the Chaldees. I'm the one that led Israel out of bondage in Egypt. I'm the one you're talking to. Look what they did. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. How do you walk right past the guy holding a bunch of bricks and boulders and they can't even see you? He's metaphysical. You remember that old show that used to come on TV called My Favorite Martian? When they did the antennas up, he could just disappear. How Jesus was. Jesus could blind your senses to him and appear to vanish in the thin air. And walk right past you and you never see him. So while you're in a dangerous place, God can fix it up, but they never see you. My wife tells a story about a no good guy she knew in the world after she got saved that was going to kill her or beat her down or whatever he was going to do to her, take a baseball bat to her, whatever he had planned for. And he had swore to get her. Said she was downtown and walked right past that guy and he never saw her. That's supernatural power. God can blind a person to you that they never even see you. And that gives you the confidence to know, you know, God can do anything. Anything. The devil always thinks he's doing something to you. He can only go as far as God lets him go. God has not lost control of the devil. That's how people think, like, the devil's on the move. Look, man, the devil serves a purpose for God. What is he? You ever seen one of those old cowboy movies like Rawhide, where they're trying to round up a herd? The devil is good for rounding up a herd. He'll herd you right to God after he's through beating you down with that crowbar. You finally wake up and say, you know what? I think I better go to the Lord in prayer. Because the devil has beat your head in the world and you finally give up. But if you don't, you're going to keep going through and keep getting that crowbar cleaving your skull in. He says, look, if you fall on me, Jesus speaking, you'll be broken. If I fall on you, I'll grind you to powder. The Bible plainly says a broken and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. Brokenness is the key to getting to God. Everything we go through is for brokenness. To become what? Dependent upon God again. Independence is the curse of the human race, trying to operate outside of the confines of God's jurisdiction. It's a curse. Nobody can do it. All you do is curse yourself. So what's happening? What's in these people? What crucified Jesus? Go back to Psalm 73. He's looking at the wicked being exalted. The wicked flourishing, prospering. Multi-millionaires and billionaires. They got no wants, no worries. They got houses paid for several fleets of cars, Lear jets flying around everywhere, living the life of Riley, no concerns. We have none of the problem. Health insurance, Obamacare, we don't think about that stuff like y'all. Poverty, bills. My accountant pays that stuff. I haven't seen a bill in the last 30 years. I go to a hotel, I just check in. They don't ask for a credit card from me. Think about it. You go to, do you have a credit card? We have to keep this on file just in case you try to scam us and run away. That's what they're really saying. You got to pay for the room, have it on file, make sure the charge is able to be applied just in case you try to run away from the hotel or you break something. We can always charge you for your room, you dirty, low-down rat, is what they're saying. For the rich, they bypass the front desk. They go up in the back entry for the VIPs, right to the room, leave, and get on a jet at the airport or their own private jet and fly away. They never see a bill. And y'all, that's handled by their people. My people will call your people, is what they say. They don't like you peons. You what they call useless eaters. You that grovel at the feet of us elite ones. Why do they think like that? Let's take a real look at it for real. Let's begin to unravel churchanity and religion that has actually skewed what we're really in. And in 2015, it's coming to the forefront what church is really all about. I keep telling you, for the last 3 to 4 years, we're in the midst of a new church order. God is bringing the church not forward to a new order, but back to Acts. We're going back to the book of Acts, where church was real and they knew what they were here for. It's been taken away from the book of Acts and brought into seminaries, which have really become cemeteries, where you go bury the dead. It's been indoctrinated. It's been infused with the minds of men who came up with philosophies and theories about God. And it just totally disempowered the church. Now we're going back to Acts. And I'm going to show you why we got to go back to Acts and what things are really about. Now from here on out in this lesson, tie your wig on tight. Or your weave or whatever you're wearing. Your toupee if you're a guy. Tie the thing on tight. Get some super glue or Elmer's glue. Glue the thing on tighter. Because most Christian people, I'm telling you by way of live stream before I begin this, most of you are going to try to regurgitate what I'm saying and not accept. But before you do that, go to the Word of God and check me out. And then look at the streets. Look at life and see if this can be validated. Now, what's it all about? What are we looking at on earth? What's the goal of Satan and his army of fallen angels and demons? He's trying to find human hosts for his spiritual entities. Everything you see on earth is about the devil refabricating the thinking processes of man to accept the entry of his fallen beings as the governors of your personality. He's looking for human hosts, vessels, to house his disembodied entities. They house themselves in human beings through a process known as spiritual amalgamation. Now, to amalgamate an unclean fallen spirit into you, that spiritual world must first deconstruct you as it pertains to all evidences or any vestiges of normalcy, morality, decency, righteousness, purity, and any other normal state of a human. He has to deconstruct your resistance to the inhabitation of unclean spirits. Now, you got to follow me now, because I'm using terms that are foreign to most religious people claiming to be Christians. You got to get your mind data dumped from jumping around and shouting around and popping and jumping in an entertainment center. Get all that out of you. Get all that stupid church junk out of you so you can hear what's really going on. He's deconstructing resistance to himself. Remember now, you got to get this way down inside of you. You got to let it drill down inside of you, or else you won't be able to receive the real apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Because you'll have a skewed, misaligned mind that will fight the truth just like these Hebrews did, these Jews did. You'll have your mind contaminated by the old church order, so you can't receive from God as he reveals the reality of what we're in. You got to know this. Get it deep down in you. Satan is an angel. I'll say that again. Satan is an angel that has fallen from his place in heaven. The fallen angels that followed him are fallen angels. It is of a high likelihood that the demons are either pre-Adamic creatures or the offspring or hybrids that came forth from demonic infusion with humans. The fallen angels talked about in Genesis chapter 6, that is never preached in church. You went to church for 20, 30 years every week, popping and jumping in the Baptist church, yelling and running and screaming, and somebody squalling in a microphone, and nobody ever told you about Genesis chapter 6, that the angels came down amongst the women of earth and sired hybrids, Nephilim, fallen ones, half human, half angel. Nobody ever mentioned it. When they put together the scriptures, the canon, they call it, these 66 books of the Bible are called the canon of scripture. They had a council that came together to determine what made up the actual books of the Bible. It was men that sat down around a table and decided what scriptures were valid to contain in the Bible. They left out the Apocrypha. Now, the Roman Catholic Church for a long time had the Apocrypha in their Bibles. They excluded the book of Enoch because the book of Enoch told you about some judge and the rest of the fallen angels that came, Ariel and other angels that came to earth and taught men about sorcery, witchcraft, astrology, astronomy, how to use roots and things to cook up all kinds of concoctions. And all of these mind-altering concoctions that the angels taught men were designed to put you into an altered state of consciousness. Why? So that your inhibitions would lower to allow them to enter you. You know how it was when you went to your boyfriend's house when you was out in the world thinking you was doing and throwing some things around and you was hot stuff? He took you to his apartment and he either plied you with alcohol, dope, or some other carcinogenic drug to lower your inhibitions because he wanted to get into your pants. Your natural resistance to him having sex with you was up there too high. So when I began to ply you with the alcohol and the drugs, your inhibitions. An inhibition is a limitation. It's a limiter. It won't let you go but so far. I got to lower your inhibitions to allow me to get into your pants. You got the Sergio Valente jeans on. I'm trying to get them off. So I got to lower your inhibitions to get inside of you. It's the same way the devil does it. To get a demon into you, he has to lower your natural resistance to the evil uncleanness of the demon, because you would never do what the demon will do in you in your right mind. You wouldn't have your mouth on a guy's penis performing oral sex in your right mind. You wouldn't have your mouth on a woman's vagina performing oral sex on her in your right mind. You wouldn't be bent over a bed rail as a man being sodomized by another man in your right mind. You wouldn't be laying it with a lesbian as another woman talking about, this is my girlfriend, I'm about to marry her, in your right mind. You've been driven into an altered state of consciousness. You've been opened up to form a portal within the confines of your soul to allow the demonic entity to come in to cohabitate with you. Notice how all of these entities are fallen entities. They fell from another place. They began with God and fell away from God. The Bible says the Antichrist spirit in humans. They began with us, but they went out from us to show forth the fact that they were not all of us. Had they been all of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us. But they went out from us. that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. Starts in the church and it goes out from the church. They're exposed to the truth and they spit on the truth. Then they try to convince themselves they're still the same as you are. I'm still saved, but the Lord had me doing. No, no, no. You can't reconcile it. You can't get in with the saints. You come around the saints and you feel foreign. You feel different. You're not the same as the rest of the people. Why? Because you got another spirit. You received another gospel and you're worshiping another Jesus. So you see now, he's looking for spiritual amalgamation. Satan is trying to mix his entities into the fabric of the human race. He's looking for this entry point. He has to find a place to get in. Now, if you go back in history, you'll find in different civilizations and cultures, there's always been talk of the gods and the children that they sired. You go back in ancient Sumeria, a civilization in Mesopotamia, which was around Iran and that Iran-Iraq area. It's believed, as a matter of fact, that they found the Garden of Eden in Iran. It's nestled between mountain ranges all around. It's a fertile valley between those mountain ranges. You can grow anything there. And it's believed by a lot of scholars and historians that this is the Garden of Eden in Iran. You know, Iraq, right next to Iran, is Babylon, where they always invaded Israel from the north. Iraq is in Babylon. The Tigris and Euphrates rivers, that fertile plain around the Tigris and the Euphrates, have always been mentioned in the Bible. That whole realm right there, this is the realm of the Samaritans, Mesopotamia, and a lot of things came from there. But the Sumerians and the people of Mesopotamia had an ancient epic about this man who was named Gilgamesh. I'm going to read you some of the details about Gilgamesh in that epic that was written by the Sumerians. This is an overview of the plot of the Epic of Gilgamesh. Now, Gilgamesh is a long poet. It's a long writing, but this is just an overview. You know how some of y'all have to write papers in college and you're going to get the little cliff notes and you cheat? That's what this is. The Epic's prelude offers a general introduction to Gilgamesh, the king of Uruk, who was two-thirds god and one-third man. Now that sounds very familiar. Right now your mind says Genesis chapter 6, hybrids, Nephilim, angels mixing themselves with the seed of man. He built magnificent ziggurats. Now a ziggurat, see the Tower of Babel, that you see that Nimrod built in Genesis chapter 10, it was not like a tower, like a skinny little tower that went straight up in the air. It was a ziggurat. Now, have you ever seen these temples built in Mexico by the Mayans? It looked like you go upstairs to the top of it. It looked like a miniature pyramid almost, but it's flat at the top. That's a ziggurat. And on top of it, you have a temple sitting to worship the gods. That's what the Tower of Babel was. It wasn't like a tower that went straight up to the air and he was just going to continue building it forever. He built a tower with a temple on top of it where they worship the gods through all kinds of filthy sexual practices. It's where the signs of the zodiac came from. See, that's why the zodiac sign has, if you had years ago, they had this zodiac signboard that had a sexual position for every zodiac sign. And that's what you were. See, all that zodiac stuff, you better get rid of all that stuff out of your life. You better stop being a Pisces and a Gemini and a Scorpio and a Sagittarius. You better repent of all that garbage because it came from ancient worship of fallen angels and demons. You're worshiping the host of heaven, the Bible calls it. So you see now, Gilgamesh built magnificent ziggurats or temple towers, surrounded his city with high walls and laid out his orchards and fields. He was physically beautiful, immensely strong, and very wise. Although Gilgamesh was godlike in body and mind, he began his kingship as a cruel despot. He lorded over his subjects, raping any woman who struck his fancy, whether she was the wife of one of his warriors or the daughter of a nobleman. He accomplished his building projects with forced labor, and his exhausted subjects groaned under his oppression. The gods heard his subjects' pleas and decided to keep Gilgamesh in check by creating a wild man named Enkidu, who was as magnificent as Gilgamesh. Enkidu became Gilgamesh's great friend, and Gilgamesh's heart was shattered when Enkidu died of an illness inflicted by the gods. Gilgamesh then traveled to the edge of the world and learned about the days before the deluge and other secrets of the gods, and he recorded them on stone tablets. Now, the deluge is referring to the flood in Noah's day. So you'll find in different civilizations, there are different writings about these ancient god men. Ancient men who interacted with the gods. Some of them were sired by the gods. And it's revealing when you understand that these things are bathed in a type of truth as far as the civilizations knowing that there was something from the heavenly celestial entities that is somehow meshed with men. Gilgamesh was just one epic that detailed everything about these type of encounters. And as a matter of fact, some scholars believe that Gilgamesh was really Nimrod. Story of Nimrod told from the Sumerian, Mesopotamian point of view. So you see now, the Bible, it gives you little highlights and vignettes of what's going on, but it doesn't just hit you full force with the reality of what we're up against. But you see that these Nephilim and these hybrids are on earth, and they came to earth. Enoch reveals a lot more about them. Enoch begins to tell you about how they began to gene splice. You get a lot of creatures that are present in old ancient stories about the gods and all types of depictions of these god men like Hercules and other entities that had supernatural abilities and powers. You find out on the hieroglyphics and on the walls of Egyptian pyramids, you see all these creatures that seem so strange. Men with horses' heads, women with cats' heads, winged creatures that were half cat and half horse. Pegasus is one that comes to mind in old Greek Roman mythology. All this stuff is around. But Enoch revealed that these fallen angels were doing a lot of things as far as mixing blood, having sex with animals, breeding all kinds of genetic monstrosities. This may be where dinosaurs came from. Dinosaurs may be hybrids. Why do I say that? Because if you take a dinosaur like a pterodactyl, a flying lizard, huge monstrosity, T-Rex, a T-Rex, Tyrannosaurus Rex, huge lizard. And then they made movies like Jurassic Park, where you see like the velociraptors and these animals that they begin to give almost human characteristics to. Strange creatures. We're not really certain that what we see on Earth now is not showing leftover remnants of genetic infusion, gene splicing. You take an animal like a giraffe. That's a strange looking thing, man. Like it's a horse and something else. An elephant is a strange looking. See, I'm just looking at it. The devil, his whole purpose has been to get to the gene pool. Now, that's the mystery that most Christians will not know. They don't even know why they've been saved, what they've been saved from, and why the blood of Jesus is necessary to save you. The fall of man is genetic. It's genetic. These sons of God have always been around. Nimrod and Semiramis were the two people you know about that came together to form up an empire based on the worship of these fallen gods. Nimrod became Baal. Semiramis became Ashtoreth. That's when you read it in the Bible, that's who they're talking about. Baal and Ashtoreth. They are the representatives of these male and female deities, Nimrod and Semiramis. They became other gods and goddesses in other civilizations, but they're the same entities. Osiris and Isis in Egypt. And the son of Isis and Osiris, Horus. It still exists on the back of your $1 bill. That's why the pyramid is there. That's why the triangle is dangling over the pyramid with the all-seeing eye of Horus looking at you. It's never gone anywhere. It's all about metaphysical forces at work to enslave the human race, the devil looking for vessels to carry his disembodied army. He's raising up an army. Remember the Bible says God has a treasure where? In earthen vessels. Guess who else has an entity in earthen vessels? The devil. That's why Jesus looked right into the eyes of the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, not talking to them, talking to the entities that lived in them and controlled them, telling them, your father is the devil. What brought the Pharisees and Sadducees into the alignment being the sons of the devil? They had given their vessels over to the devil's legions. When you yield yourself to something, the Bible says whatever you yield yourself to, you what? You become the servant of it. You become the vehicle of expression for the children of the devil. That's what's in church. Arguing with everything you say about the Lord. Everything that is holy. Everything that is righteous. Everything that appends itself to faith in God. Everything that talks about eternal life. How do the children of the devil fight the word of God? You can't judge me. We're under grace. God is a God of love. That's the love demon talking to you. They don't want to hear anything about judgment, righteousness, the holiness of God. That's a child of the devil talking back to you. That's a Nephilim. That's a demonically inspired voice talking back to you. Have you ever talked to somebody speaking English to you and you can't understand anything they say? They talk in riddles and parables and all these innuendos, and they talk empty-headed nonsense. You're talking to a demon, and you walk away scratching your head thinking, I wonder what they just said. You were standing 3 feet away from them, looking right in their mouth, and couldn't understand anything they said. That's why the apostle says we use great plainness of speech. You understand exactly what I said. That's how the disciples of Jesus Christ talk. No riddles, no rhymes. You don't have to walk away thinking, I wonder what they meant. Because it's made crystal clear to you. So you see now, when these things take hold of you, what will they do? They'll hide the gospel from you. All these fallen entities and all these gods they're called, the Bible actually refers to them as Elohim a lot of times, the gods. This is a war with other gods. You got to understand that. There have been tribes of gods written about in ancient texts. You ever heard of the Titans? You know who the Titans were? The Titans were the gods worshipped in ancient Greece and other civilizations. Led by Cronus. He was the chief god of the Titans. But what happened? The Titans got displaced by the Olympians. Led by Zeus. Go and check me out. Go and read it in your own study times. The Titans fought with the Olympians, and the Olympians beat them, and the Olympians were led by Zeus, and the Titans were led by Cronus. They make movies about this stuff right now. Other gods were under the legions of the Titans and the Olympians. You got like Poseidon, Neptune, and all these different entities that came under the command of Cronus and Zeus as they fought for control. Now, you might be dealing with fallen angels actually trying to vie for who's going to have territorial control, struggling with each other to get control. Because, see, you got to understand how the fallen angels and who are called gods work. Now, let's back up and I'll show you exactly how they think. So you can understand why in every arena you go into, there's going to be somebody vying for power and control. You go to work, somebody on your job is trying to be significant and have power and control. Why? Because it's a hierarchy of demons at work, fallen angels, entities that are disembodied trying to be significant. The Olympians took over as the Greco-Roman gods. Where did they live? On Mount Olympus. How do you celebrate and worship them? At the Olympics. What are the Olympics? The Olympics is the coming together of all the nations governed by a particular fallen angel, sending their athletes to the Olympics before Zeus, who is really Satan, to actually compete with each other as pawns in an angelic chess game. That's all it is. They use humans to compete with. You better know every city that has a major sport team has a demon god that's sitting in the stands rooting for the Green Bay Packers. Because those are my chess pieces. Humans are pawns. There's something to play with. Nicki Minaj squats down in the thong, showing her bare butt behind to the public. The god that's reigning over her says, look, I got my vessel to go and strip down butt naked, and she's got that Anaconda album, squatted down, bent over, bare butt naked with a thong strap on. Well, the god that rules Kim Kardashian says, I'm going to get my big butt babe to strip down and show rear and frontal nudity to get more attention than your whore. Now, we'll just see who's next on the agenda. As another god stands up, I'm going to get my whore, my prostitute, my stripper to get into a sex movie with three guys in the bed with her. They did it with all these different actresses. They strip them down. They compete with them as vessels that they own. It's all about competition and games with the fallen angels, using human beings as chess pieces and pawns. They use people. It's all they do with humans. Humans are nothing but mortals to them. They refer to them as mortals. Because I'm eternal. I'm a spirit. You are mortal. You're nothing. You're dust under my shoe. And I just compete with you and use you and laugh at your stupidity for not being able to see me. So what happens when you're engaged to these entities and you're under their direction and used by them? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 happens to you. I told you, now I'm coming outside of church as usual in the daily hooping and hollering and cutting the food and tuning up. Now I'm going to show you what we're really fighting against so you can stop fooling around with all that church baloney and that foolish religious junk and understand why you got saved and what you're up against. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to who? Them that are lost. In whom? The God of what?
This world.
There's a God that governs this world. The Bible does not back off of it. It's not misinterpreted. there's a God that governs the world. And a God is always signed on, off on through worship. What delegates a person as a God? It has to be worshiped. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see now the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, calling Jesus what? The image of God. He is the manifestation of God. It's light emanating from the image of God. But the mind is blinded. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes? The reason why you don't believe me is because I tell you the truth, and you are not of God. I'm the image of God standing in front of you, giving you light. And you hate me and call me a devil and spit in my face. You know how many people professing to be Christians will hear this right here and know I'm wrong. I'm crazy. This can't be what it's about. Why? They've been taught by the demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the latter days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons. They've been deceived by the very doctrines of the demons that came forth to keep them in a realm of entertainment. Joel Osteen telling you every day is Friday. Have your best life now. T.D. Jakes tuning you up, telling you get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. So you don't think, you don't have analytical thoughts operating inside of you. You don't have the ability to engage in constructive criticism, critical thinking, linear thought, analysis. You got to use your mind in this and analyze data, draw conclusions, understand things. Knowledge is a principal thing, but with all you're getting, get understanding. Your mind has to be engaged in the real gospel. It's not entertainment centered. Wake up. So you see, the gospel is hidden to these kinds of minds. Minds that have been infiltrated by the devils. Minds that have been accessed by these fallen entities. They're creeping their way in. What's God's answer to this intrusion into human personality? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 is God's response to the introduction of the demonic elements into the human psychological program and into the mind of humans. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Excuse me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This must be important right here. The law is what's binding people. Grace is frustrated by adhering to laws. You don't live lawlessly because Romans chapter 8 says we're subject to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that undermines any accusation of us living lawlessly. We live under the auspices of the Spirit, which is a law in and of itself. I'm led by the Spirit. The Spirit dictates to me. The Spirit leads and guides me. And the Spirit is never contrary to the righteousness of God. So I don't have to ritualistically follow laws, because the Spirit envelops me and I'm under the law of the Spirit. I'm governed by the Spirit of God. You traded in outward ritualistic fleshly performance for nature. You see how God did it? I'm going to keep the devil at bay from you by changing your nature. So he tries to bring his filthy spirits to you, but your nature won't allow them entry because you're contrary to their nature. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Salvation changes your nature. That's what he didn't want me to say. But that's what it's all about. You smoked because your nature allowed for you to ingest and blow out smoke, craving nicotine. You stopped smoking because I don't have an appetite for it. My nature changed. Folks wrestle with stuff forever because they don't go through the process of organic revitalization. You've got to be put to death. I am crucified with Christ. Yes. Nevertheless, I live. Yes. No longer I that live it, the apostle says, right. But Christ lives within me, yes. For me.
Yes.
I keep the devil at bay because I exchanged my nasty genetic makeup for the makeup of Christ. Yes. It's his nature. It's genetic displacement delivered by and through the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood that cleanses from all unrighteousness. He's after the DNA. He's after the gene pool. He's after your chromosomes. If God changes your nature, he will disallow any demonic infusion into you because your nature is contrary to the devil. You allow them in, you become the seed of the serpent that crucified Christ. You will crucify Christ. At the end of the age, you can't see the people in Revelations cursing God, spitting on God, because they've been infused and amalgamated with the devil. In these last days, we're going to see the sons of God pitted against the Son of God. The sons of the gods pitted against the Son of God. Look at this. Angels came down in Genesis chapter 6. They came together with women, infused their natures with women, and sired hybrids, half man, half angel. These are the sons of the gods. The angels that fell with Satan. The Bible plainly says that all the angels were called the sons of God before they fell. Now, Satan is their God, and they're seen as Satan's offspring, his lineage. The fallen angels even are sons of Satan, sons of the gods. And when they have underlings under them, the hierarchy is set up that everybody becomes a son based on nature change and submission to whoever is over them in authority. So all these sons of gods is pitted against the one Son of God. And the terror that possesses Satan and the fallen angels and the demons is the fact that you become a vessel that now exudes from your very nature the Son of God. And he is basically a beast master. Everyone outside of anybody in alignment and in covenant with the Son of the Living God has to bow the knee to the Son of God. So sons of God, plural, fight the Son of God. And you as a Christian are shaped and molded into the image of the Son of God. That's what gives you authority. That's why Jesus said, when a man came bringing his boy possessed with a demon, disciples couldn't cast him out. Oh, ye of little faith, how long must I tolerate you? Bring the boy to me. Why are they having little faith? I'll show you in a minute why he called them ye of little faith. Makes perfect sense if you understand what he was saying. What is God after? He's forging and he's shaping vessels of war for what reason? What logical reason would God want you as a vessel of war?